Sunday morning, as name implies, for practical things and doctrine and Christian life and experience. And so we have dealt with questions like Calvinism, initial sign and evidence of speaking in other tongues, and various doctrinal things, and also Christian experience in life, marriage problems, and the problems with children, not too long ago, I had Marty Gemmell bring a session on rock and roll to keep the young people, particularly and others, understanding Christian rock, different kinds of verses, proper Christian music for perspective. And this day, I've asked George Boker and Greg Wood, two of the teachers in the Bible College that are teaching classes in music ministry, to just take one session, encapsulate, and impart some truths and examples and other understandings of music ministry. And I've done this for two reasons. One is I feel that as we come into the house of the Lord to worship Him, we should worship Him. And we should learn how to lose all inhibitions. And we should learn to make contact with God. And you can help, do this if we learn to lose inhibitions. If we learn to open your mouth wide. You know, it is true, and I don't want to steal the thunder, but I'm just going to say this one thing. You cannot do the same thing in your heart in worship by just barely opening your mouth and being stiff as you can if you let go. And I've had experiences with people at the altar and praying, seeking the Holy Spirit, and they'll, I've just been praying a little bit, and they've been praying for the Holy Spirit. And I don't believe in just mechanically doing things, but sometimes you can help them a little bit. I've taken their hands. I guess I'm just going to lift, after they pray a while, I can lift them up. And as soon as the hand comes in and happens, the neck tips up, and they start praying more vocally. Immediately, although there's no magic in lifting of hands, immediately is broken inhibitions, and now that they're up, they might as well go ahead, type of thing, see? And they release. And it's true in music ministry. And you can't do a good job of praising the Lord unless you open your mouth widely and begin to put power into the lungs and begin to think on a more vibrant level and act on a more vibrant level. And it's the same thing in a marriage. You unless you express that love, unless you're willing to hug and kiss and express it and say things, you cannot really keep that love flowing like it needs to. And that's what makes people fall in love with them, is because people think they're so wonderful. People love to say, people think they're so wonderful. And when you get adoring somebody enough, they start adoring your back. They say, but if you don't do that in marriage, and all you do is point out the negative things, look what happens. And people are just not wise in that area. This becomes all the more important, not only because we need to, as a body, as we get new people in, we need to be good examples. And those coming in need also to move up to a higher spiritual plane. And all the more so as we are looking at the days right in the future, and we are looking at them, and have talked to some that are, have a couple of businesses that they've put in to invest in this area, just info radio, and also the feeling about television. And the Lord has pressed my wife in this area, and a number have been feeding this area. And when we begin putting those television cameras across here and see people like this, if we're going to put all this money to bring people into community chapel, because we can preach on radio, and the preaching can let them know about television, the television can let them know about preaching. And television time is expensive, too expensive to stand and preach, I think. We want to bring them right in to see the glory. And if we don't have any glory, and if the people don't know, I would like everyone of you out there to look just like music ministry does up here. And I noticed in Israel, when they went out against Jericho, they were all singers. Now, I'm sure they didn't all sing at the same beauty, but they all sang. So Greg Wood's going to take the first part of this session, and George Bull for the second.
I don't know if that was any insinuation on how well I sing. I don't know, but I feel a mighty anointing today. I know that the Spirit of the Lord wants these truths that we're going to be bringing to you imparted to you. And He wants a clear understanding in each one of our hearts and minds about this subject. Lord Jesus, we pray right now that each ear and each heart and each mind, oh God, would receive this teaching, oh God, in a way that has been never before equaled, and that their hearts and minds might truly be deeply changed, oh God, as they hear these truths and understand these concepts. Lord, anoint us heavily this morning in Jesus' holy name, and give each one liberty and bring release, and let each captive free, oh God, as they hear these truths, that they truly might have a worship in the Spirit, oh God, far more abundant than they've experienced in the past. In Jesus' holy name, we claim it and pray. Hallelujah. We're speaking about worshiping God in song. Worshiping God in song. Now, we must recognize that there are different parts of you that worship. You have a body and a soul and a spirit. And when you worship God in the assembly, all three are involved. When you stand up, your body stood up. Yes, your soul came along with it and your spirit came along with it, but your body is what stood up. And when Don was explaining the example of the person at the altar, their hands went up in the air. Yes, your soul expresses itself through your hands, but it was your body that went up, and your head is your body. So we have a body, we have a soul, and a spirit. Whenever someone is really, truly worshiping God, all three are involved. Now, we don't mean that every single body function is involved in worshiping. We're only talking about a few specific things about the body that's involved in worshiping. In this case, particularly, we're speaking about the voice and the ears. Because singing is speaking it and hearing yourself speaking it. It's just as important, if not more important, that you're hearing yourself speaking it. That's why when a person listens to a tape, they can get edified because they're hearing somebody else sing. And they don't have to make any noise at their mouth and they can get edification. So the hearing part is a very, very, very important part of singing in worship. And another part of it, of course, as we said, was like of the raising of the hands. Now, what about the soul? What does the soul do in worship? What is involved there? We're talking about the you or the person of you when we talk about the soul. And so we're talking about the place where ideas are held, the place where concepts are held, the place where emotions are held. That's the soul. And that part of you is most definitely involved in worship. It has a very key part in worship. Extremely important. And then when we're talking about the spirit, what are we talking about that is involved in worship? We're talking about that aspect of you that actually makes the connection with God. The actual place where God's spirit communes with you in your human spirit. That's actually the essential part of the worship. All of the things that the soul does, all of the emotions and all of the mental concepts, they are on a human level. They are dealing with man and dealing with man's situation in the earth. For example, every word that you have in your vocabulary is a combination of data from all around you, and it is a definition from your experience in this life and all of the things around you, people and everything around you. You can take any word in the English language and it's explainable or defined by other things that you've experienced in your five senses. So that means that there is a limit to what your soul can do between you and God. There is a place where it cannot go any farther. And that is where the spirit must take over. It must be a spiritual experience that your inner man is experiencing with God in order for you to truly worship. Now, if we explain total worship then, we're talking about the cooperation of your body, soul, and spirit in this experience of worshiping God. Your body sings, makes the noise and listens, and your brain operates that fantastic mechanism of being able to sing. You know, man is already head and shoulders above the animals in as much as he can speak, let alone that he can carry a tune of some sort and put together a combination of thoughts and then all sing the same sound. That is such a very high thing in the creation that man can do that. But your soul is doing that. Your body's making the noises, but your soul then is the one experiencing it, and it's happening to. So we've got the body making the noise with the mouth and controlling the pitch, and we've got the brain, which is part of the body, taking care and overseeing all this function, and then we've got the listening by the ears. Then if we move to the soul, we move into the understanding and the initiation of this. Your soul is the one who decides to do it. Your soul is the one that gets your body to stand up. Your soul is the one that gets your body to raise its hands. Your soul is the one that gets your body to open its mouth. Your soul is the one that initiates all this activity. And then your spirit just rides. It soars. And it worships God on top of all that. Now, there's an interdependency between these three. An interdependency. You see, we teach, for example, that the body and the soul and the spirit make up one man. We don't take it to be three men inside of us. There's one man. So you as a human being are all three of those interdependently. Without the body making the sound of the singing and holding that pitch and carrying out those phrases and using your muscles of your diaphragm to hold that singing to its full capacity, you're not going to have the same experience you would have otherwise. When people are short of breath, they can't sing the same way. They can't hold that tune way out there, that each phrase. They cut it off short. You know, you've heard people talking that have lung problems. They cut off the sentences real short and take a gasp for breath. They really aren't able to hold that feeling and that emotion that we can. So without the body singing the sound, the soul cannot have an utterance or hear the concept. Your soul is dependent upon your body to make that noise. Your soul can't sing in the sense of the physical singing. It can sing in the singing of the body, but it cannot sing itself. It has to have the body to sing. Now, without the soul, the spirit has got no channel to express itself to God. You see, God has built us such a way that our soul protects our spirit and makes a decision as to which direction our spirit will be allowed to go. Otherwise, our spirit would be very vulnerable to all of the things that the enemy would bring in. But we have a decision in our will. We have stuck with the Word of God. We have stuck with the truths of the Word of God. We have made decisions in our soul that has made a place for our spirit to be in wisdom and protection and brought to God that way. Now, that's in my terms anyway. Now, without them, the soul entering into these concepts mentally and entering into the heart of it and the emotions of it, your spirit cannot experience God and worship God. Now, let's give a couple examples. For example, in speaking in tongues, when you pray in the spirit in tongues, your body is operating there, and there's a language coming forth, and it's uttering the language. Now, this is pure spiritual prayer to God. But your soul doesn't understand it. But your spirit does. Your spirit is speaking to God, and your spirit is edified. Since your spirit is edified, then your soul is blessed and strengthened to a degree, but it doesn't have the full understanding of it. But in worship, it's different. In worship, yes, your body has an activity, like speaking in tongues, but your body supplies the voice, like we've said, the music, like we've said, the utterance of the actual words, or the sounds of the words, the brain mechanism, the auditory functions, but the soul thinks and experiences the emotions of praise, the emotions of joy, the emotions of being uplifted, the emotions of power, and of the gifts of God, and of that position with God that God has given you. And then it expresses itself through the sounds that the body are making. Now the spirit, the spirit is relying on the soul's expression. Without those expressions, it cannot commune with God. It has to have that open door. Now, the soul expresses thoughts, ideas, words, and emotions of worship in God, of worshiping God in song. And then, as your spirit makes contact, that power comes back to your soul. In other words, your soul will initiate it and will enter in by decision into a place of that joy of God and the experiences of God. And then your spirit will pick up and take you farther past that. And then this will come back upon you, and your soul will experience more than it ever experienced before. Otherwise, we wouldn't be where we're at. We wouldn't be climbing in God. If there was not hunger and satisfaction of that hunger in God, we wouldn't worship God. There is a continual difference. Every time you worship God, if you're truly worshiping, there is change in you. There is a difference in what you have found. Your soul has experienced new things. Now, this means that it's a building thing. Now, for you to worship God this morning, the way that you are going to express yourself in song is going to be a direct reflection of what you've experienced in the past. In other words, as you initiate your worship, you can only initiate what you have known in some way. And so you are going to begin to initiate this, but you are expecting to go past where you've been. So it's an important thing that you initiate yourself at the peak of where you've been, and that you gather all of your soul's strength and all of your will and gather yourself together, and you launch out at the top diving board, so to speak, at the top place, and then go from there and allow God to move you higher. If you come only expecting or somehow thinking that God wants to take you down a couple notches and make it a little bit easier for you in some way, you're going to be losing out in what you could have. Now, I admit that we're talking about the expansion of energy. We're talking about the giving of ourselves, which takes strength and energy. But we are definitely dealing with a higher power. God's Spirit is far more abundantly capable of meeting our needs for energy than we realize, I think. And God will be right there to give you what you need and the power you need to pick you up and move you on. But let me tell you something. Your soul doesn't only decide whether your body is going to move. You know what else your soul decides? Your soul has control over the gate through which your spirit communes with God. Your soul is a deciding factor as to whether you truly open up and allow your spirit to soar in God. Now, we say that our soul has protective mechanisms. Well, we have wisely, you know, we're protective about our body. You do not, your soul doesn't tell your body to run as fast as it can 16 hours a day. That just isn't wise for your soul to tell your body to do that. And there's billions of things that your soul does not allow your body to do because, well, your body just doesn't have the sense not to do it itself. Your soul's got to tell it not to do it. But if you did do it, you'd be doing harm to yourself. There's, you know, just gobs of things where that's the case. So there is a protective mechanism that we automatically use as our soul in keeping ourselves safe from harm. But there's a tendency to have that same protective mechanism operating towards God's Spirit, which is a total error and sin. But it happens because of the carnal mind, because of what we call fear, or because of what we call just reservations, or because of what we call inhibitions. It happens because of we are in a physical world, and there are physical dangers, and we have been alerted to those dangers, and we have learned all those dangers and things, and we have learned about hurts and all this, and so we have all these protections in our soul. But we have to cut those things off in order for your spirit to actually be tuned in into true spiritual worship in the spirit. You cannot hold those kind of protective feelings against God himself. He is your all-supplying Father. Well, so that's why we preach about faith and trust in God. Because the lack of faith and the lack of trust in God is that very reserving of ourselves and not allowing ourselves to go out to him and not stepping forth and allowing him to take care of us in our spiritual needs. We forget and neglect the releasing of our spirit into the worship. You see, your soul is designed, it's true, to be a protective cradle for your spirit. That's true. It is designed to hold the concepts that you need to keep your spirit accurately aimed at God. That's true. But we take it too far many times in the flesh. Now, your soul cannot receive the blessing back upon it until your spirit touches God. You can generate fantastic songs that sound fantastic to the natural ears and be very acutely aware of pitch and all kinds of things, but if your spirit doesn't touch God, your personality or your soul will not receive benefits of worshiping God, and it will be what we call dead letter. Now, it can be gospel style and still be dead letter. Just because you've come out of Lutheranism or Presbyterianism or something where it was dead letter with dead sounding music doesn't mean your soul can't keep itself turned off when it has the most anointed, powerful music you've ever heard in your life. Your soul has a will and it can do that dastardly deed if it so desires. But that's where we must decide never to allow that to happen. That's why all the effort is put into gospel style. That's why all the effort is put into yielding to the anointing, that your spirit might soar in God. You see, doesn't matter how much energy you put into it in your soul, if you are not going to take it the next step and allow your spirit to make contact with God, you won't have the power source come back upon you. Now, sometimes, because we have such accurate memory of past experiences and emotional memory even of what we felt like in the past and the words of the songs, and we've got all the music down pat and we even have a concept of what worshiping is, we can trick ourselves into a stale place where we have not really broken that outer crust and it is built again and we haven't stepped forth in our spiritual place. So you actually, believe it or not, may be actually afraid inside to let yourself really soar in God. Subconsciously, you just might be guarded all up against that. We have to cut that down. What's the solution? What's the solution to all this? Fall in love with Jesus. Cut away the shoreline and go out where the water is really deep and trust in the security of God. Rest in that secure, powerful God who's given you life and breath and everything else. And rest in Him and rely on Him to buoy you up and keep you in every pathway. You see, that security and love and comfort of God that you experience by doing that will then give you more confidence to do the same thing again. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, all-capable. He is perfect for the job of being God. But we have to unlock this thing. Untighten, unleash your heart. It's a lock on your heart. You got to let the Spirit of the Lord reach in from the inside and unlock that. When you get it unlocked, throw away the key. Keep unlocked, keep unloosed, keep untightened. So he will never find a closed door again. The lover of your soul will have that access permanently in that place. Now, another part of the solution is open up your heart, open up your mind. And be aware of the fact that the thoughts that you supply in your personality are what your spirit has to go on. Your spirit has to glide and soar on those thoughts and words. For example, like Don said, if you do not truly, energetically put in the punch to those words, you are robbing your spirit of a closer, brighter, more powerful access that it could have right at that point in time. You are constricting what your spirit's going to be able to get out of that experience. The way that you think about the words does the same thing. If the verse says, I'm living where the rivers are flowing, and in your mind you see a little tiny trickle, that's affecting what that song means to you. But if in your mind you imagine yourself on a sandbar in the middle of the Mississippi, then that's going to have a whole different concept of the way you feel about that word. I'm living where the rivers are flowing. And that's important. You have got to recognize, you have got to decide that your soul is a pathway for your spirit to reach God. And you've got to cut loose and let your words, as you sing, and concepts expand to where there is a far more heightened experience. And you have got to let your emotions to do the same thing. So then there will be a full capacity for your spiritual experience with God.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Speaking for All Our Music Ministry, our heart's desire is to see the entire body of Christ thoroughly free, completely free, to allow their soul the privilege of releasing their spirits to worship God in complete freedom, all the time, anytime, no matter how you feel. You see, the anointing of God is not something you work up. It's yours because you're His. Is it hard? Is it hard? No. Therefore, we do not have to allow our worship to be affected by the way we feel at all. If you feel tired, sick, half dead, happy, joyful, whatever your feeling is at a given time, your worship does not have to be affected negatively by the way you feel. It can definitely be affected positively, very definitely. Now, also, as a result of having the anointing as a privilege yours because you're His, you can step into that anointing at any time and sing every song with your whole heart. You can. It's not that they can, and boy, I wish I could. You can. You definitely can. Anybody can. Because you are His. And you have that privilege and right to worship God at any time. And also, take the advantage of this and sing every single word with its full meaning. Sometimes we tell music ministry to preach it when they're singing. Because they're singing it and then they're singing it. And giving all you have in that song when you're minister. And the same applies to all of us in the body. Even though we're involved in congregational singing, it's a ministry in a way. Because it's unto the Lord and it's ministering unto Him. And it's as major of effect on us as a body as a ministry of music to the body. Now, when I approach singing is this way. Anytime, anywhere I am, I can sing the praises of God and feel His anointing. Anytime, without fail. It's a marvelous experience. I think it's been the one thing that's kept my heart soft before God, is that I can be driving in the car, I can be sitting in the library, I can be doing anything, and I can vocally be singing, or in my mind the song can be going through, and my heart will just begin to worship God in that song. Anytime. And it's many times I find myself in tears driving down the road because God's presence is upon me. Now, you can say that, well, that's because you're that kind of person or because you're musical. I'm of a firm conviction that that same privilege is for everybody in the body of Christ. That is not exclusive to a music director or to a music minister. That is for everybody, that they can freely feel the presence of anointing in God as they worship Him in song. Now, some technical help. You, the soul, must enter into the praise and worship as you sing. Example. Let's say a song talks about glory. Enter into that song with glory. Preach that song to yourself if you have to, if you need the message. Or sing that song. For instance, you sing the song, It's Glory Just to Walk with Him. Bland. It's glory just to walk with Him. Bland. Blah. Or you can sing it, It's glory just to walk with Him. You can sing that way. Is that cheap Pentecostal theatrics? No siree bug. It's not. I don't believe in that sort of thing. I believe that we can sing and reach God in the way we feel. For instance, say the song is about love. I love Him for He is mine. How many times have we sing that song? And we can sing it, I love Him for He is mine. Pitch, meter, everything's right. Words, can't miss. But if you just release your heart in love to God, I love Him, you'll find that you really do. Maybe you've been feeling, having problems lately that you don't feel like you love God enough and you want to love Him more and you just aren't in that satisfactory love relationship. Well, neither are the rest of us. We're all striving to a higher relationship. But you know what? As you sing those songs, if you love Him with everything you've got, that's all He asks for. And you know what happens? Married men, what happens to you about 5:30 in the afternoon, you come home from work, you walk in the door, and you walk up to your wife, put your arm around her and say, I love you. What does she do? Sit there and say, well, I don't believe that you've been loving me enough. You're not in a satisfactory level. No. she turns around and says, well, I love you too. Or tell her to listen to a long string of poetry, whatever your wife is like. Now, God does the same thing in a much grander divine way. When we come into his presence together as a body and begin to sing, I love him for he is mine. Oh, I love you too, is almost the way he had just gushed the love down on top of us, because we've opened up a little crack to let him in, because he's standing there waiting to love us with all he's got. And he's got a lot, as Greg so aptly put. Okay. It is important to emphasize important, meaningful words, like we just said. Words such as glory, love, praise God, that's a phrase. Hallelujah is an important word to emphasize. Jesus, wonderful, etc., etc., etc. We could go through a whole list of important, meaningful words that appear in songs. And it's especially important to emphasize repeated words and phrases. Because in music, when you have a repetition of words or phrases, such as wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me, or thank you for your kindness, it's not an attempt at redundancy. It's repeated for emphasis, to impact the message home. You don't sing wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. It's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Or thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your kindness. You know, the repeat of the word. Now, this may seem like a simple technical thing, but it is important. Because if you begin to put the power in each word as it comes along, you'll find that that message will become more and more and more meaningful. I strongly believe that we should never, ever, I'll approach it negatively, we should never, ever sing a song without feeling the fresh anointing and meaning of that message on our hearts. Ever. We should never, quote, just sing a song. And we don't have to. Every time we can sing, there can be an experience in God as we sing a given song. No matter how many times we sing it. Did you know that? That's true. Now, I don't mean that every time I sing a song, I'm walking down the hall down here, and every time I start to sing a song, I get slain in the spirit. That doesn't happen every time, but any time I sing a song, I feel the presence of God in a new way, and my heart is affected by his love, and I feel closer to him than I did the moment before. Now, that's wonderful. That's going to get us to heaven. That's going to make us a part of his bride as our hearts are continually soft before him to love him. Now, let me insert here, before we go on, the importance of throwing off inhibitions that you may have as a result of your own evaluation of how good or bad your voice is. And some people say, well, you've never heard me sing. Well, maybe that's good. But perhaps God does enjoy hearing you sing. Let me bring a case in point. There's this pastor I know that pastors a very large and moving church in South Seattle, where there's a Bible college, who is a self-admitted crow. However, parenthetically speaking, I don't think it's that bad. He can at least carry a tune, which is that's halfway to 100. But really, Don's voice isn't that bad. But you know what? You never see Don's evaluation of his voice stopping him from really opening up his mouth and singing and worshiping God. You don't see that happening. Well, I'm a crow, so therefore I'll just hold back and let music ministry do it. No, he's our loudest and most strongest supporter in music ministry. When God's moving, he's right there worshiping the Lord. And so, you see, I don't care how bad you think your voice is, it's not that bad that God doesn't like it. Remember that. And no matter how good you think your voice is, it's not that good that you're better than everybody else. There's always somebody better in this life. Have you ever found that out? No matter how good you get at anything, there's always somebody that can run a little faster, throw a little farther, whatever. But at any rate, I don't like to see people hold back in their singing when they feel their voice is so bad that they're going to just murder everybody around them. Now, I don't mean shout and scream and holler when you sing to the top of your lung that you do drive your people around you away, but sing with freedom because God enjoys it. And I will say probably 99.9999 ad infinitum percent of you can carry the tune. Monotones are extremely rare in nature, and I don't think anybody here probably is a monotone. I don't want to say categorically there isn't, because maybe that rarity in nature is among us, but sing your one note. Anyway, God gave you that note. Sing it and put every amount of energy you can into it. So much for that. I don't expect anybody to get meek anymore. You'll notice that. You'll notice that, though, when people begin to worship God in the Spirit and sing in the Spirit, that their voice gets big. Beautiful. Fantastic voice. Let me use an example. Bev Gerard, I heard recently, a few months ago, sing in the Spirit in the assembly. And that was the biggest, beautiful, round, rich, alto voice I had heard in a long time. It was gorgeous. Because she was completely free, her spirit was loose, and she put every bit of energy that God was putting upon her into ministering that song in the Spirit, and the voice was beautiful. And when you're free in your spirit, and you release your spirit, and you get rid of yourself enough that you're able to sing, really sing unto God, and make a joyful noise, and you sing with strength, your voice improves 300%, 400%, naturally. It just happens. And the difference between in a performance world, and the difference between a good singer and a bad singer is the one that can sing with freedom and one that can't. That's the only difference. There might be phenomenal voice potential sitting around, but until that voice is released to sing freely and openly, there's no real strong voice. And that's the difference between strong singers and weak singers, usually, is how free they can sing. And so, I want to bring you some singing techniques to help you out. How's that? Voice class number one. First and foremost, you've heard this twice today so far, several times last week. Open up your mouth and let the sound come out. You can have the biggest, most strong diaphragm of anybody in the whole world, and you can push the voice with all you've got from the diaphragm, wiggle your vocal cords till they turn green, but if your mouth is closed, there's not a whole lot that can happen out here. Example. Let's take the song Praise God, Hallelujah. It happened to me. What's a good key? Close mouth. Praise God, Hallelujah. It happened to me. God's wonderful miracle. I dare say it is absolutely impossible to feel and to put the anointing into a piece of music if you're just right up here. But if you just open up your mouth a little bit and sing praise God, instead of praise God, there's a naturally... Now, what happens when you're yelling at somebody down the street?
Hey, come here, sir, hey, I need to see you.
No. You open up your mouth and say, hey, come here, you know. And that's probably a poor example now that I think about it. But the same thing, when you're expressing praise and joy and love to God, open up your mouth and let it out. Praise God, hallelujah. Not,
praise God, hallelujah. Boy, I don't feel very anointed today.
I think the same thing applies when you testify, if I can throw that in there.
Boy, God is really moving in my life. I just can't tell you how much.
Now, I've mentioned the diaphragm. Physiologically speaking, if that's the right word, which it could not possibly be, there's a muscular dome right underneath of your lungs called the diaphragm. And when the diaphragm goes down, your lungs fill up. When it goes up, your lungs collapse. And this goes on and on from the day you're born to the day you die. Up and down, up and down. Now, the strength of this muscle is phenomenal. You can take this muscle and push it down and hold your stomach muscles up. You can hold phenomenal weight on your stomach just by tightening the abdominus longus and all these different things down here and letting that diaphragm hold tight the air pressure in there. The strength is phenomenal. So you use that muscle when you sing. You don't just sing from your throat. Singing is initiated from this muscle down here. It really is. And the throat is just opened up and the sound comes out, providing your mouth is open, of course. Remember that. Now, I'm not going to go into a big series of exercises to help you find your diaphragm, except to say that many times you may have experienced it accidentally, like when you're yelling at the fellow down the street, or when you're singing in the spirit, many times your diaphragm will come to play because you're putting more energy into it. When you sing with energy, this muscle is working, and you'll feel the song initiating from the very innermost part of your being. It's an interesting thing that splenkna and singing originate in the same place. Splenkna, that moving of the inward parts, it talks about that feeling in your innermost being, and what we sometimes say, rather crudely, the gut feeling. It's just something inside. Just when you really feel something, you feel it right down here, and that's exactly where you begin your singing from. Same place. A singing initiates from there. So when the emotions of the when your emotions are involved, and you put the emotion in the music that's there, it starts down there, and so does the actual physical effort of singing from the exact same spot, almost, from the same spot as far as where you feel it, and you can just push it all out emotionally and physically from the same place. The other thing, along with opening up your mouth, is focused pronunciation. For instance, putting the consonants on. Ever heard, for the Lord God reigneth? What did I just say? For the Lord God reigneth. That's for the Lord God reigneth. That's putting the consonants back on. Many people sing without consonants somehow. Have you ever noticed, listening to some, in fact, I've heard it said about our music ministry, I love the music, but what are the words? It all sounds like Hawaiian. No consonants, you know. Ooh, 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 ah, ooh, ya, ah, ooh, ooh, ooh. It must be good, you know. No. Why I ask that everybody put focus their pronunciation, in other words, make an effort to pronounce words correctly and to pronounce them when you sing them. When you focus it right here, you consciously make an effort to make that word meaningful when you do that. It's a funny thing. It's uncanny. It's amazing how it happens. I noticed in music ministry when people begin to quit using what I call a lazy mouth and to start to pronounce correctly and enunciate the words, the anointing falls better because they are putting a conscious effort into the message. And so if you put the energy in down here and sing with energy, apply what we said, open your mouth and let the sound come out, and then pronounce the words distinctly, you'll find the song very, very meaningful. And it will be easy to put the emphasis and the meaning into the words as they come. Because what is the final thing? We want the message of the song to be as full and meaningful to us as possible and to those around about us. Now, let's talk about the differences for a minute between singing in a way that we feel like singing on occasion and really putting the energy in, such as Greg and I have been talking about this morning. Many times we come into a service and we want the song service to lift us out of where we're at into a place where we can finally feel the presence of God. Now, that's not the right way a song service should go. I don't think a song service should start with just some singing and some anointed people getting, you know, they're anointed, but a portion of the congregation is just waiting to get edified, and so they let the song service pull them up into the presence of God so then they can do things. And the song service starts kind of here, and then it goes up kind of like this, and it kind of fades back down until it finally comes to a grinding halt, and the pastor gets up and changes the order of the service. Now, that shouldn't happen. I don't believe that. I believe God wants us to come in and just begin to praise Him. He'll lift us up into a place that praise explodes from us, that the song service can no longer go on because we won't let it. The praise of God is coming forth in a marvelous way, and people are anointed and they're ready to receive whatever God would have, and then God can move in miraculous ways and touch the lives of His people. That's the way a song service should be. But it's up to us. We have to release our spirits unto God by putting every ounce of energy and effort our soul can muster into singing with meaning, with emphasis, with all that we've talked about this morning. Now, we want to give you some examples. Gloria, would you go to the piano? Who's organist this morning? Me? No, good. I'm going to ask you to do something that for some of you, in fact, for many of you, will be extremely difficult. For some of you, it won't be as hard as you think because it might be something you've done before. I'm going to ask you to sing a song as lackadaisically as possible. This is almost ludicrous. I'm going to ask you to sing this song, and it's a beautiful worship song, without thinking about the words that you're singing. Think about something else. Like sometimes it's so easy to do. The boat. The vacation, whatever. Try not to put important emphasis on the words. Try not to sing it with anointing. Try to sing it as blah, as lackadaisical, as unanointed as you possibly can. Like I said, this may be hard. It is hard because the song is one that you can't help but worship the Lord in.
I'm going to make a case in point. The song is We Uplift Your Name. Now sing it as lackadaisical. And everybody sing now with all you've got, but as lackadaisically as you can.
Uplift your name, everybody sing. We uplift your name, the name of Jesus, the name we love. We extol and praise the name.
Just in case any visitor just came in, we don't want them to think that this is the song service. They may not come back. Now, that was very good. That was just as bad as I wanted it.
Except I have to insert something here. You know what I found? And I think a lot of you did too. I found my spirit. I found my spirit not wanting to cooperate.
Yes.
With my flesh. My spirit just, oh, this is wonderful. But that's what a spirit, that can be a lot better, but that's what a spirit should do.
That's right. That's exactly right. Now we're going to do just the opposite. Thank God. I want you to stand up, and now just don't sing it the way you'd normally sing it either. I want you to worship God with every ounce of energy within your very being. I want you to give God all the praise that he's worthy of, and I dare say that's a lot. I want you to love him with your whole heart as you sing. Pour every ounce of energy and spiritual strength that you have into worshiping God, and I guarantee you that God will energize your being and you'll feel his presence like maybe never before. This time, close your eyes. Don't think about anything else.
Thank you.
the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated.
That wasn't really fair. Trying to get a spirit-filled people to sing a dead song. You ought to hear the dead churches singing.
I used to be a Methodist. I know exactly what he's saying. Now, that was the best sound I've ever heard out of this congregation to date. And I'm not kidding. And we're down in numbers. That was real good. All of you with such bad voices, that was real good. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. In closing, just let me say a couple of things. First of all, when coming to song or coming to service, when we have song service, keep your mind on Jesus. Don't allow things to distract you. Remember, Jesus is worthy of all of our praise, no matter how we feel, no matter what we're thinking, no matter what we're going through. He is worthy. He is worthy. Release faith. Believe God to be here in our services and expect Him to lift you up in His Spirit and come believing that the presence of God is yours and you're going to step right into it. He's here. You're here. Praise Him. Come prayed up and be free to praise the Lord. It is your privilege. Privilege. It's not something you earn. It is a privilege, a gift. And believe God to move in new and different and powerful ways through music in this assembly. God's not done with us yet. And I can't wait to see what He has for us in the future. God bless you. I think the pastor may have a couple of additional remarks.
He always does. Yeah, just a couple. Greg Wood said that worship builds. I can just about hear a few voices saying, well, I haven't found it that way. I just stayed the same. Where with you, worship sustains. There are those out here that have not praised God for a long time. Do you think their spirituality is the same? You know it's not. There is nobody who won't praise, if you quit praising God for any length of time in your heart, in your soul, and expressing it, there's nobody who won't begin to lose the love for Jesus. You that find that it just sustained, you just come up from last week, you know, you're just getting enough to just keep up. But if you would implement what was brought this morning and put your whole heart and energy and mind behind the worship, it would build with you, too. If it just sustains with you, it means you haven't gone far enough with it. You're just doing enough just to keep alive. You're kind of in a prison camp, spiritual prison camp, just eating enough to keep alive. Greg said also that we have been alerted to dangers in the natural life and even carried these over to the spiritual, and that's true. And I want to emphasize we have been over-alerted to dangers of fully worshiping God by our non-spirit-filled brethren oftentimes, and some of that, and also by
diablos, you know, and the devil. And some of this has spilled over into our circles, too. And so there's worried about fanaticism. Well, if I don't get, I don't want to get fanatical. No danger with you, brother. You know, it's not your type that has to worry about fanaticism. We're talking about faith. So don't, that person isn't, doesn't ever have to worry. Well, I don't want to be a hypocrite. That is not hypocrisy. There is so much false understanding and lies about hypocrisy. If you love your little daughter, if you have a little daughter and you love her, and you see her there, and you see that she's feeling lonesome for daddy or mama, whatever, and you've been busy doing something else, and life's been, you know, you've been out and life's been rough, and you're coming home and things didn't go too well. And you look at that little one, and you're not just bubbling in your emotion of love for her. You know, at times when she's doing, you know, a little, you have a happy occasion, you just feel so much emotion for love. Why are you not feeling any emotion for love? But you know that you love her. And you know that she is soliciting it and wanting it. She's standing in the middle of the floor crying, for example. Mommy's been God all day, or daddy or somebody, and she's been with the babysitter all day, and here you come walking in the door. And you go up and put your arms around and say, honey, I love you. Are you being a hypocrite because you don't feel it? Everybody that thinks you're being a hypocrite because you don't feel the emotion, stand to your feet. I'm going to give you a personal message. That is not being hypocritical. You do not have to feel something in order to say what you believe to avoid being a hypocrite. Did I say that right? You know that you love God, and if you didn't love God, you wouldn't still be here. And you wouldn't be saying, I love you, Lord, even if you don't feel it. God appreciates that. Anybody can say, I love you. I love you, Mommy, when they give you cotton candy. But after they've spanked you, and you crawl up in the lap and say, I'm sorry, Mommy, I love you, that means something extra. And when you say, I love you, Jesus, when he hasn't just showered you with spiritual blessing and mundane blessings, that's especially appreciated. Even if it's hard and life has been rough, and you say, I love you, Lord, that is not being hypocritical. That especially pleases the heart of the Lord, that you will tell him you love him and keep worshiping no matter what you feel like, because you know that you do. You see, when Dad's under the car and oil's dripping in his face and the bolt has just broken off and he's late, see, for an important thing, and everybody's waiting and to get all the vacation stuff packed or whatever, and everything's going wrong, he doesn't feel a sweet emotion of love for his wife and children. But he loves them. And all of a sudden, if a wild dog attacked his daughter, he'd be out trying to do anything to save her. In fact, if she fell into a deep pool, he'd risk his life by leaping in. He loves her. There's no question. He could prove it in a second, even though he doesn't feel the emotion. It's a lie that you don't love God if you don't feel love for God. It's just like it's a lie that you don't feel love for your wife or your children if you don't feel the emotion of it right now. Your love is not dependent upon your emotion. And don't ever get to a place where you quit expressing love just because you don't feel the emotion. In fact, if you start expressing it, you'll begin to feel the emotion. Because emotions come from expression. And this is where people get everything backwards. Why don't become stereotyped? Well, you won't become stereotyped if you mean it. If you decide to mean it, it won't be stereotyped. The peck on the lips to the wife, you know, the dutiful, you know, this is my time, I'm leaving you for the morning, bye dear, you know. See, that can become stereotyped. But if you kiss her every single morning and make a point of it before you leave, and to mean it, that is not becoming stereotyped. All you got to do is put your heart in it, and you can forget about being stereotyped. Next point. If you watch professional singers, and some of them are not appreciated by some of us so much in the spiritual realms because they lack the experience in the spirit, so you don't really believe them, and they lack the anointing. But one thing they've got, or nobody would listen to them, and that is they put full energy and action into everything they do. They don't leave gaps. They don't sing with the mouth half open. They pour it out. I mean, those sopranos go clear up, and they're high, and they're full, and the bass real deep and resonant, and everybody puts everything they got into them. And that's what makes people want to pick them up and pay them high salaries. That's what makes them in demand. And that's what will make you affect others who listen in on the watching the television screen and coming to the services and hearing out and out on the outreaches and so forth, and will affect others in the congregation here, even those up here in the cheaper seats, because you're putting everything you got into it. Okay. It's easy to sing by memory, by patterns, by habit, just like it's easy to drive. You know, you learn to drive by a daydream. You ever drive in a while, all of a sudden you wake up and say, well, I'm driving. What did I do the last 12 stop signs and all the rest, you know? Well, I must have made them, you know? You ever done that? You can get to do that. You can also get to do that when you're praising the Lord, in which case you're not praising the Lord. You're only singing. Now, what would happen if you begin to learn to kiss that way? You're daydreaming while you're kissing, say. You're thinking of something else. Pretty soon, I mean, they would begin to feel the difference, right? And you would begin to lose the emotion. And so you don't want to follow up with more hugs and kisses and expression of love, because it can get boring, because you don't mean it. That's why some young kids go out and they just want to kiss, see? And they kiss, 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 kiss. And after a while, oh, this is boring, you know. Of course it is. You're not in love. There's no love being expressed. It's only two lips going together, see? And if you begin to love somebody that way, your marriage will get dull. If you love God that way, your love for God will get dull. And if you sing that way, your worship will get dull. So all you do, do with all your strength. And the reason is because you're not supposed to do anything that isn't good. And if it's good, it's worth doing with everything you've got. So, for example, if you're going to go out and do sports, do it with all your strength. How'd you like to see a track meet with a good kind of, you know, everybody just, you know, pole vaulting. Yeah. If you're going to preach, preach. If you're going to testify, testify. If you're going to sing, sing. Amen? If you're going to defend yourself in court, you better defend yourself. And if you're going to accuse in court, you better accuse. Well, I think there's something. You can't get anywhere doing that. And if you're going to worship, worship. And everybody said amen. And nextly, you can initiate action without feeling. Maybe look this moment. I think I'll let that one go. I think we've added, we've covered that one. Some of you can say, well, music ministry can sing that way because they're on a spiritual mountain. The people are laughing at music ministry. They aren't always on a spiritual mountain any more than you're always on a spiritual mountain. God bless you, Brother Yorkers. Good heading service. The reason that they're singing that way is because they know, they've been taught to, and they know that it gets results. They've proven it out. Sometimes they're in a valley when they're singing. And they can sing in a way that affects you and has caused you to be able to worship God better. Let me say, if anybody's been going through some difficult times, please come to the altar and here they come down off the platform, some of them. Say, well, them, woo, well, they didn't sing. I thought, yeah, I would like you to all sing that way so we get amazed when you come down here too, the way you've been singing. Sure, that's right. Sing in the valley and sing in the mountain. But sometimes, you know what happens? They start in the valley, they end up on the mountain. You ever started worshiping that way? we feel, I'm going to stop in a moment, we feel what we hear expressed. See, feelings follow what you hear expressed. If somebody else comes up to you and he's really bawling you out, he's really pouring it on, he's really accusing, you feel it, right? If they're expressing love to you and appreciation, you feel it. And you not only feel what you hear expressed from others, you feel what you hear expressed from yourself. And when your ears pick up yourself expressing how much I love you, Jesus, you begin to feel the response of that. Next point, if you repeat songs, songs repeated over and over and over again without being in the spirit, leads to a loss of luster of that song. You know, it gets boring after a while, doesn't it? Sure. Oh, we've sung that song. I'm getting tired of that song. That's because you have been singing that song. But repeated songs in the spirit leads to greater luster. That's why sometimes when the spirit is really moving and a person's open, you sing a song, we sing over and over and over and over. Nobody wants to stop it. You ever done that? And the more you sing, we sing, all glory falls, and that's the service for the rest of the night. I mean, you don't go any, do anything different. Because the repeat, every repeat makes it go higher and higher and higher. So one person is standing over here, and he's just going higher and higher. The person next to him is out of the spirit, and it gets more boring and more boring. So pretty soon, wish these people, these marathon, this place will fit, you know, hurry up. You know, let's get on to something different. He's bored because he's not in the spirit. And it's that way with kissing, without being in love. After a while, they can get really boring. But when you're in love, it heightens and heightens and heightens. And when you love God and you worship the spirit, it gets higher and higher and higher. Or it can get old. So don't blame all these things on the service. Recognize it depends on the receptor back there. Now, see if I'm done here. Why is a person inhibited? Why are you inhibited? Some of you are inhibited when you sing. Why are you inhibited? Let me give you several reasons, possibilities. One is lies in your mind, wrong concepts, you know. Lies of the devil. Well, I'm not in a spiritual place I should be, so I can't really sing like that. Meaning you're not really repenting and trusting in the grace of God and recognizing you can stand there and lift up holy hands unto God. Or saying, well, I've always been timid and I just can't do that like other people can, see. And you always rise or sink to the level of your affirmation. Or various type of lies, there's a lot of them. Another reason is that you lack spirituality. You're not in the spiritual place you should be. Another reason is you're not entering into the spirit of the worship. You're not entering into it. You just sing it mechanically. You're daydreaming. Now, what helps entering into the spirit? Well, suppose we want to enter into the spirit. What helps? Well, prayer does. Praising God, just praising Him, does. That helps enter in. What else? Songs. Songs is prayer and or praise with melody besides, which is an extra boost, and songs help enter into the spirit. But I thought you said that you could sing better if you were more spiritual. You can. But you can enter into the spirit more if you begin to open up and to sing. As you sing praises, it raises the spirit so that you can sing at a higher level so that you can enter into them, and it's a building thing like this. And so if you're inhibited, you say, well, I'm inhibited. I'm not in the spiritual place I should be. Meaning, well, I should go and spend a couple hours in the prayer room. Then I can come back and sing better. Well, why don't you start singing? Because that's the prayer room plus, because it's wood plus the melody or the music or whatever. So that you can now, if you begin with where you are, you have to begin where you are. You can't begin where you're not. And then put yourself up here by faith in God and expect His anointing and yield to it and trust God's grace and begin to feel it. You will find that you'll come up so that you can enter into the Spirit. Since you've got to get more spiritual to sing, get more spiritual by singing so you can sing. Summary. Open your mouth of everything said this morning. Open your mouth really wide when you sing. Full wide. All the teeth showing, you know. Really open your mouth wide. Two, full energy, all you've got. Three, with a full concentration of the mind to yield unto God and to love. Put your mind and your spirit right there to yield and concentrate on the message and trying to feel and express that message. And lastly, exercise faith. Believe God. And if we open our mouths wide, give full energy, put our hearts right there, and have faith in God, well, our song services will come right up, and we'll have marvelous times praising God. This should help in camp meetings. should help in every meeting. Every single person entering fully into every single song with your full heart and mind. Everybody that by God's grace will wants to do this and are going to do their best. I want you to vote honestly. That are going to do your best. Now, we haven't asked you to do anything here that you couldn't do. Open your mouth wide, full energy, full concentration of your mind to yield and faith. If you really mean this, from this day and forward, because you believe it and you realize it's good and you don't have any hang-ups in it, you know it's right and you know you can and you're going to, you've got faith to do it and you believe in the principle and you really mean it with all your might, I'm going to ask you to stand. Decision between God and this governmental body. They don't stand if you don't mean it. We don't even want you to stand if you don't mean it. Thank you. That'll help. I like you to be committed, and that helps be committed. You may sit. My last statement is that someday songs are going to explode into just praises. But that's not the ultimate. That's not the ultimate. That means you lose control of your song, and you don't know anything else to do but express it from the heart, freely. That is, you get to a place where you no longer can sing words that have been ordained of man, although they're beautiful up here. Inside your spirit, there's something welling up that's ready to burst, and now you've got to sing it. You've got to just praise Him and say it without the melody. But beyond that is the place where the songs will build and build, and to the glory build. And at that time, somebody doesn't run up and give a testimony and break it because they feel wonderful, but you recognize what the body is doing. And then as it explodes into what we call the heavenly choir. And so the Holy Spirit moves across that congregation and puts everybody in the Spirit, in harmony, singing as the Holy Spirit gives the utterance, that which is the cry of the heart that before you wanted to express by praising without music, you are now expressing it by other tongues, which is more articulate of the heart and more expressive of the inner man, the heart. And with the music of God beside, born of the Holy Spirit, is the ultimate in song service. Until we get to the day we start out with a heavenly choir. And it wouldn't hurt my feelings if we never sang another song ever written by man, even though God's anointed them and used the songs. And I'm not saying we're ever going to be there, but it wouldn't hurt my feeling. And I'm not talking about just singing without the understanding. I'm talking about singing with the understanding as well. To be able to sing, I know this is an awfully high, lofty position, but if we could come into a song service being so full of the Spirit, you know, just having praise music, that we start right off, not stereotype, I'm talking about the Spirit moving, and moving across this congregation so He could ordain new songs by the Spirit, in other tongues and in English, and the interpretation. And you might call them prophetic songs given forth, and praise songs by the whole congregation in perfect unity. That would be the height of yieldedness and oneness in God, and being born each time by a new, fresh, relevant message in the Spirit, and worship and praise right from the heart would be the highest form of music ministry that could ever be attained. We've got an announcement I have to make.